Doug and Wolf Show on a Friday. Good morning. And not very often is the number one story not football on a football Friday. But obviously in this city, it is not, with the situation. And I think a lot of you already know about it, but the nine-second recap. Suns in negotiations with the city. They come to an agreement with the city manager. Sounds like the city council is going to vote yes on a $230 million renovation. And then some people say in about a 24, 48-hour period, some of them change their minds. Bam, let's have a continuance. And we'll worry about this in mid to late January. And that's where we are right now. So the mayor of the Doug and Wolf Show, Hugh Hallman, has come in. He is a lawyer, and we want to be transparent. He's a friend of both Wolf and myself, but is somebody that we feel like we can trust, even if we're going to disagree with him on things.
Brilliant,
we feel like we
man,
can trust.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So Hugh, to start things off, give me a number, if you would, of how many times you've been negotiating with a city, with a stadium, with a team. Anytime you've been involved in it, how many times have you done something like this in the past?
I was the lead negotiator for the Cardinals deal when it got blown up oh so long ago, and the stadium would have been in Tempe.
Okay.
For the city.
You.
I was a city council member. No, don't blame me. Blame the city of Phoenix. You want to get into those politics? I'll talk about Skip Rims and Neil Giuliano.
Politics.
They couldn't talk.
Don't want to hear about your politics.
All right. So there's that one. I then worked the deal. I was then mayor of the city of Tempe, becoming mayor of the city of Tempe, and then mayor for working with Artie Moreno to put the keep the team, his team, the Angels, in Tempe. He had given notice and said, Tempe, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. I'm going to Goodyear. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. And
you had to take that shot at me.
I had to take that shot at
me. But see, now everybody in Goodyear doesn't know it was a shot at me. They think it was a shot at
Goodyear is a lovely, lovely place.
Thank you.
I'm friends with the current mayor, friends with the past mayor, good people all. Yes, it was a shot at you. Anyway, Artie stayed in Tempe, and we put a deal together. And I think I use those two deals as examples. I've worked on others privately. I'm a lawyer. I get paid. I got to be very clear, so I don't talk about what my clients pay
me
to
do. But this is kind of a wheelhouse for you.
I do very complex deals. I just did one in the West Side that was extraordinarily complex. And, you know, there are a couple of stadiums out there. Maybe you can figure out which.
Okay. I wish we had time for that. So now you'll be here to coming up next week and talk about that one.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Let's look at this one. There's so many different realms of it, and we have so many questions, so this is going to be rude, but I want to ask you like 900 questions. Wolf has 900 questions, so I'll keep it moving and just ask.
10-minute segment, Doug.
Yeah, I know. That's very well said. I just want to know, what do you think? I mean, people that love the Doug and Wolf Show, we say you can trust Hugh Hallman, so when you look at this deal, what do you think?
Negotiations have started. Now, let's talk about the politics and the reason it got rushed. You had a deal that's been negotiated for a very long time. The actual letter of intent is 20 pages or so long. And it's a document that says on its face, this is not binding.
Okay.
Okay.
And I want everybody to know right here in the Auction Community Studios, you are sitting in front of about 800 pages right now. Or?
Well, some people think it's 800 documents.
Yes.
But
to be
specific. It's approximately 1,000 pages of documents.
Okay.
It is the original contract, the restated operating agreement to put the deal together for operations.
Okay.
It's the document that said, we promise we'll stay in the facility and we're going to give you all this money and you're going to give us all this money. And then what's called the development and disposition agreement where they said, okay, let's buy this land and build a building.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three main documents. Mm. And you got an agreement that said, by the way, the Suns get all the advertising revenue and other stuff. It's a massive amount and a very complex deal. And it includes phrases that people say, unpaid priority operating fee payments and interest thereon. Who writes this stuff?
Yes, lawyers.
I do.
You do, exactly.
Yes, that's why I get paid. Oh. Anyway.
You know, let me be specific. If you were the mayor of Phoenix, would you have voted yes on this deal?
If I were the mayor of Phoenix, the deal wouldn't look like this.
Okay. Okay.
So
what's wrong with
it? So here's where I start. The negotiations have now started. We got here because everybody thought this was going along pretty well. Does anybody even remember that this is not the first time the city has put a bunch of money into this facility since it was built? I mean, you've got seven amendments. The Sixth Amendment done on February 29th, 2016. That ain't that long ago, folks. That's $13.4 million. I don't remember you talking about it. I don't remember anybody talking about that. You've got another one.
Yeah, but we'd say to that, Hugh, psh, ain't none but $13 million.
Yeah, exactly right. That's a rounding
That's
error for most
that.
People like Sarver. July 9th, 2012, that's $7 million to the city and $3 million to the team. listen, right there, you're looking at $23 million, and nobody even blinked. So
you're saying the city's already been putting plenty of money.
They've been putting in plenty of money, and they put in half the money to build it.
Okay,
you're talking about one of the oldest arenas in the NBA, correct?
Yeah.
You're talking about that. Well, you know what, Hugh? It's the price of doing business.
You're correct. It is the price of getting a handout.
And the clause says once it's obsolete and being the second oldest building and soon to be the oldest building, doesn't that come close to the obsolete clause?
So let's start with the politics. The reason we got rushed on this is because we ended up without a mayor elected to the city of Phoenix in the last election. Kate Gallego came out pretty early saying she is not interested in spending a bunch of money. And then she ended up being the biggest vote getter by a long shot. Mm-hmm. And folks went, oh, damn, we got to move this before she comes into office. That's effectively, I think, what happened.
Now, if I'm playing devil's advocate, if I'm pretending to be the Suns here, I would think the Suns would argue that and say, this is how all negotiations go, and we had to get to this point anyway. It has nothing to do with Kate Gallego.
Yeah,
mock that?
No, I don't mock that, except that having been elected to the mayorship of the city of Tempe, the city staff and my predecessor jammed through deal after deal because they were sure I was going to blow everything up. The Tempe marketplace is an example. They said I would destroy the marketplace. It was one of the themes about, well, it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. It was an environmental waste dump. I then had to usher that thing through, but I did it differently than my predecessor would have done. And that's what we're down to. Mm-hmm. You've got guys like Jim Waring and Sal DeCicco. They're fiscal conservatives on the council who say, look, I'm not interested in going down these roads. If you want to do a real deal, I'll sit down and talk with you. Well, what does that do for the residents of the city of Phoenix? It gives them some leverage. It's the husband and wife who go into the dealership, and the wife goes, oh, I want that one. And the car guy goes, oh, great, I got a sale. And then the husband says, not so fast. This is a negotiation. And you've got Robert Sarver, who doesn't have a lot of options, and this is where Wolf gets mad at me. He said, gee whiz, you know, one of our options is to leave. Now, was it a threat? You don't need to get into the semantics, but it is one of the things they had to make sure people understood is, as a leveraged point, you got a crappy facility, it's 30 years old, it's maybe obsolete, it's a terrible thing, we can go someplace else.
Why would they deny it to the point they did? Why would they go to the extent of denying
that it was a threat?
That they did.
Because the politics, the
why
optics.
Why not let that hang? Everyone already understands, Hugh. What's that?
No, you understood it.
No.
Wolf, you understood it. Doug maybe understood it. A dozen other people. But what happens
PR matters in this situation.
Yes, they are. And
it
now you've
matters.
Got all
public
the people.
Perception matters, Hugh.
All of the people who want to make sure the team stays now are calling and writing the council saying, if you screw this up, I'll never vote for you again.
And so are all the people out there that don't want
you got it.
Them to
That's
subsidize.
Correct.
So why
and
would you do it?
Because
you
want
to play nice at first.
Those people already. No, you don't. Those people already exist. So by January 1st.
That's the reason why you blew it up.
That's January 1st. Nobody's going to remember this part of the conversation. And now we're in negotiations. The sleeves get rolled up. So that's what pushed the negotiation forward fast and why the city suddenly had to do this in a hurry on a $230 million deal. That's why.
Public relations matter.
Let me jump in.
I'm disagreeing with you.
I don't
disagree.
I'm just
telling you right now. Okay? You can sit here and tell me all this lawyering. You're lawyering up right now, right?
I lawyered up for you, pal.
You can tell me all of this, Hugh. But you know what? PR is a little bit different, too.
So
how you go about your business, how you actually do it, how you actually engage the negotiations, it matters.
Hugh, not that you need time. You're going to get it to actually think about the response to that, because we were only going to have you on for one beautiful part of the program, but Wolf can't get all heated, tell you you're wrong, and then have us let you go.
So I've got another engagement. I'll talk to you later. Else wants me on air for a longer period of time.
So coming up next, we'll have the PR argument, but I want to get more specific on what should we be asking for here? What's fair to us as taxpayers? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Lawyer and stadium negotiator, and trying to help us make sense of what's in it for us as taxpayers in the city of Phoenix. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Mid to late January, another vote after 5 meetings with you, the public, in different spots around town. Dates and times have not been announced for you to voice your opinion. And Hugh, one thing that there's a group of people that believe taxpayer money should never be spent on stadiums at all in any stretch of the imagination.
Let's hit that one.
I want to be fair so people know where I come from. I totally support that idea if we're talking about Fargo. Okay, I don't think Fargo should be taking taxpayer money and building an NFL stadium there. I do look at us and I say, okay, the hotel taxes, the rental car taxes, things like that. Then I look at it, can we invest?
The jobs that it generates.
Speaking of spring training,
it generates.
You tell me we can build a new spring training facility for the St. Louis Cardinals? Let's do it. Okay. You know, things like that. Will this make money for the city of Phoenix? Is it an investment that's worthwhile?
Let's talk the big picture, because the second you get into the detail, everybody who's got an opinion on this is, well, and it screams back and forth at one another.
Ron, you
were articulating, you are articulating why it should be here. And I gave you right back some examples of the costs. Here's how you should be going about this and why I'm unelectable, that I can only be the mayor of the Doug and Wolf show because nobody wants to listen to this noise.
This is good. Okay.
You're either zero or one. You're either you hate stadiums and funding or you love stadiums and it's the most important thing on the planet. Most of the reality is in between all of that.
Because I'm one of those show me the deal.
Okay.
Is that fair?
So is Sal DiCicco and so is Jim Waring as examples. There are others on the council. The issue is this. Every time you articulate a reason it could happen, there's a reason it shouldn't happen. Mm. And you've got to start working through all of those and say, what are the costs and benefits? Does it generate taxes? Absolutely. We know this from the best example I can ever think of, and that's Disneyland. Walt Disney buys a bunch of property, builds Disneyland, and didn't have the money to buy everything around it. The entire city of Anaheim exists because of Walt Disney, and he didn't get to capture the benefits.
Okay.
It's called an externality in economics. It's the good, positive stuff that happens. The opposite of that is called negative externalities, the crud that happens because you did something.
Crime,
noise, homeless people begging in front of the stadium, all that good stuff. The point is that those things are true in both cases. And the folks who say you should never spend public money on anything, I have to turn around and say, okay, why do we build roads? That's public money.
Yeah.
For whose benefit? Well, you drive the car, don't you? Well, how about Ford Motors also gets to sell a whole bunch of cars because we have roads in this country? Those are positive externalities and negative externalities. We have pollution because we have these kinds of cars. Every time this conversation takes place with somebody who says you should never spend public money, then you have to ask the question, then where would you ever spend public money? And they start articulating why, and you pull those same arguments out and say, okay, the stadium brings us some stuff that we wouldn't otherwise have. And Robert Sarver or Jerry Colangelo, God bless the man who's one of the great leaders of our community, who got this stadium built, got the Chase Field built, and didn't monetize. He's one of the few true business leaders you look at. The guy didn't cash out. Sarver buys a $400 million team that's now worth $1.2 billion. He could build his own stadium, you can respond. The answer is, yeah, he could. And he can also get the city to pay for it. Why? Because the city gets a whole bunch of stuff that we as taxpayers benefit from, too.
I've looked at this point, though, and I've always said, if the Browns can move, anybody can move. So when you say...
Yeah, but it was the Browns.
I get that. But the idea... Yeah, he was a Brown. But
I understand. Yeah, and right. He was also a Cardinal.
The idea is I have no problem with Robert Sarver saying, we can go here, we can go there. The city is the landlord. The city owns the building, and landlords should pay to fix buildings.
Really?
But I totally understand that
What was the last deal you negotiated over a building? Oh, the answer is, oftentimes the tenant pays. So here's an example of a different deal you could do right now.
Okay.
Today's deal is this: $230 million. You've got the team putting in 80.
Uh-huh.
You got the city putting in 150.
Uh-huh.
The city gets back $60 million in potential revenues from leases and all that good stuff, not counting the taxes.
Okay.
The city now says in their paper, because they're advocating, the staff put this together, and they're advocating with good reason. They thought this was a deal the council wanted. They've been working on it for 3.5 years. And they say, gee whiz, in this deal, look at all the tax money that happened. Look at all the restaurants that opened because this stadium got built.
The Big Fries that's going next door.
Imagine that. But what else got built in downtown? Well, let's see. I think we have Chase Field. A whole lot of other stuff happened. What are the other options? You have this crappy old building that's 30 years old. What could happen there? Well, how about on Town Lake, we just sold a set of buildings for $928 million. How about $2 billion in buildings that could get built on that same site that have jobs and people could get employed and all of this good stuff? That could happen too. So don't pretend that this old building is your only option. when you start talking about that, you then say, okay, how do I approach this? You approach it by not giving away all your leverage. If you are panicked and say, we got to have this team, then Robert Sarver has you over a barrel. If Robert Sarver says, I'm stuck here forever, you got him over a barrel.
There's an argument to be made, though, that he's going to have a hard time leaving because of the amount of money he'd have to pay in a relocation fee.
Personally, how would you feel if the Suns left?
I would feel terrible about that.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that I, as a representative, if I were mayor of the city of Phoenix, I sit there just as I did with the Cardinals and Michael Bidwell. I was a council member leading that team. My mayor wanted the deal, and I got stuck in the middle precisely because I'm the one guy who says no. And by the end of that negotiation, the Cardinals were paying the city of Tempe $16.8 million to get to stay in Tempe. Glendale writes a check for $120 million. What's the difference? Well, it's $136.8 million, but it is leverage, and it's how do you understand the other side of the deal? So the city of Phoenix can understand Robert Sarver doesn't have a lot of options. He had to remind the community he has an option. He might be able to get to leave. You then say, Doug, gee whiz, he'll just grab that clause that says this stadium is now obsolete.
Right.
That's always been the case. The right answer is this was always a 30-year deal. Stop pretending it was ever a 40-year deal because that clause doesn't say the city has to do anything, as the city staff says. What it says is if it's determined to be obsolete, what does the team get to do? Terminate 10 years early.
Hmm. So you don't think the Suns have a legitimate point?
Yes, I do.
Legitimate argument?
But I think other people have a legitimate point. So, Ron, the whole point is, you make the argument for why they should stay and why should we should pay for it,
yes.
And I'll make the argument on the other side. When Doug comes around and says, no, nobody should pay for this and we shouldn't put in dollars, I can make the argument on your side, Ron. The point is, the people who are in the worst position are now 8 council members and mayor. They're missing a person still. And they have 0 and 1 in politics. The guys who come in and defend this get clobbered by the people who hate it. The guys who try to stop it get clobbered by the people who love it. And when a deal finally gets done, all anybody now remembers in this universe in politics today, it's the environment we live in, is why you didn't do what I wanted you to do. 7 times the number of people are going to hate you that love you for doing the right thing. And the people who love you for doing the right thing forgotten they're going grocery shopping instead of out collecting petition signatures.
I got 30 seconds. 50-50? Get the Suns to pay 50-50 and you say that's good for the city? Suns pay everything? Or do you say call his bluff, let him go to Scottsdale, let him go to Vegas?
You're never going to call his bluff because it ain't going to happen that way. But the reality is, how about this? The building is now crappy. Robert, we're going to give you the building. Do whatever you want to with it. Put in as much money and you get to collect all the revenues. There's another example.
I like that.
You could do that deal. Is a 50-50 deal. It's a whole lot closer. And in fact, it matches exactly the deal the most honorable guy in sports in this town ever did. And that was Jerry Colangelo. His deal was a 50-50 deal.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank
Pleasure.
You.